Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is James Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We got a new Switch, and so we got that. It'll likely take some time to talk about. We've also got some juicy rumors about a new Grand Theft Auto coming, so we'll talk about that. We've also been playing some games, and so we've got that. What? And it's not E4 anymore. It's our first post E4 show, like a month and a half later.
I feel like we were like kids the last time we did this regular show.
I know, right?
Like, I feel like we've grown up and, like, life has changed. You did get older yesterday, so.
I did get older. This is true.
Yeah.
It just keeps happening.
Which I think it's interesting that yesterday was your birthday. I should have been around for your birthday. I saw you a few days earlier, so I don't feel too bad, but you ended up with a really cool birthday present.
I did.
I think that is cool.
So I got a bike trailer for the little girl, so she can go on bike rides with me now, which I'm pretty pumped about. So we did our first little bike ride around the park yesterday, and we had a good time. It was very nice. I'm looking forward to more of that.
Can I ask for a shot of the helmet, sir? Because I know she's wearing a helmet, and that I gotta see.
Yeah, that's fair. The goal is not get hit by any more trucks. To be fair, when I got hit by the truck, I was also wearing a helmet.
Yes.
So it's not a new thing.
I don't care about
protect your skull, people.
No, I don't care about your helmet. I want to see hers.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't have one yet.
Okay, all right.
When she does, we'll definitely do that. She'll be way cuter than I am.
Yes.
I look like a doofus in a bike helmet, as most people do. But she'll be cute because she's cute and everything.
She is totally cute and everything.
which you got to see her
just
a few days ago. We had an unexpected meetup. We weren't planning to see each other, but you just happened to be in town, and so we got to hang out for a couple hours one night last week, and so that was a pleasure. Just in general, was cool, but also because you got to see the little girl, which honestly is what you care about, and I get that. Don't blame me at all.
The coolest part of that whole deal was that my family had not met her.
Yes,
and she met my family. Plus a bunch of other random people.
Yeah.
And you folks have heard us talk about my dad. My dad is generally a curmudgeon-y dude that doesn't say anything to anybody.
Yes.
And the second that Jeremy walked in the door, my dad turned into like the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters.
He did. It was fantastic.
Like, he didn't realize that you're, like, laughing at him. But you've known my dad a long time. And the dude that came out was not the dude that deals with us.
Yeah.
So
no, it was great. It was so much fun because he was just geeking out. He was just having a good time hanging out with Genevieve. So,
and
yeah.
She likes my dad more than she likes me, which I have a serious problem with.
That's fair. She also likes your niece a whole lot more than she likes you.
Like, I totally got shut out. Yeah. Like, I'm not feeling good about the female department at this point.
Yeah. It was pretty brutal.
The last couple of years have been rough, and then Genevieve shuts me out, and I'm like, that's it. I should just quit. I should be a monk. Go live in the Himalayas. Yeah. Somewhere or do something, because me and women, that's over.
Yeah.
If I can't get her, then I just I give up.
My favorite part is like you were trying to like win her affections by showing her all the fun things the chair can do, and she was just like, whatever, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
like, she just couldn't care less.
That said, I feel like if I come to the house for like a week, I can get her back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Give it a little time. But
because she did not, because of where we were, she didn't get to push the buttons.
That's right.
And if she starts pushing buttons, I got her.
Yeah. That does, coming with buttons is definitely a helpful thing with the kid.
Yeah, she likes the buttons. Plus, I now know to buy the biggest bag of chips that I can find. Like,
yeah.
With dogs, you need dog treats. With Genevieve, you need a massive bag of flavored potato chips.
Apparently, cheddar and sour cream is the way to go. That was the way that Avery won her over.
Dude, Avery was soaking that up.
That was great.
Like, can I give her another chip? And like, after you guys left, which was hilarious, Avery and I were debating about why all she wanted to eat was chips.
Yeah.
And Avery said, I think I figured it out. And I said, what's your thought? And Avery said, well, that piece of pizza that we kept trying to feed her didn't have anything on it. It was crust. I wouldn't want to eat that either. You should have just given her some with cheese on it. I said, that's a really good point.
It's fair enough.
Her mom ate all the cheese and then regretted it later. So, there's that.
Yes.
But Avery, like, she's Avery's new favorite person ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She's everybody's favorite person after they meet her, though. So, it works out.
You know what I think? I think it's the hair.
The hair is definitely a big part of it. She does have amazing hair.
I think the hair is actually what got my dad.
I think so too. Which is entertaining.
Yeah, it was. It was vastly entertaining. And it just tells me that we need to spend more time together.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we had a good time, even if it was just for a couple hours. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be here next time, too. It'll be a good time. So, all that said, we are a video game podcast every once in a while, so we should probably talk some things about video games. So, quickly, we already talked about some of the news we're going to talk about on the show. A few other things, though. We're going to talk about games, because we've been playing some games, so we'll talk about that here in just a second. And we have a segment, and so we'll play the segment here in a moment as well. But let's start with the game side of things. Let's briefly talk about Spider-Man really quick, because Spider-Man is fantastic and we've gotten a chance to see a pretty decent chunk of it at this point. And I have to mention this, and this is a bummer. And I haven't told you this yet, so this is going to be a bummer for you as well. We had a video that was going to go up, and the audio was screwed up on it, and so we have the PlayStation footage, but we don't have us talking for it. And so we did talk about Spider-Man, and nobody's going to get to see it. So we need to talk about Spider-Man some more.
Yeah, and that just means we need to do another video. So. Yes,
we do need to do another video, so we'll have to do that soon. But we've talked about it a little bit, but just again, having seen a little bit more of it now, I'd love to hear your thinking about Spider-Man.
Here's the thing with Spider-Man, and I talked about this during E3. It is such a perfect recreation of the comic books. Okay? Like, it is, it's just great. And there are so many cameos and so many villains and so many people that you don't even know who they are. And you go look it up and you're like, oh! Like, it is a living, breathing comic book, and it just feels good. I will tell you this. I figured out, since I've been watching it since you left, the first game I've ever seen that looks awful on YouTube.
Really?
Like, you cannot capture Spider-Man on YouTube. It's not possible because it's too fast. And it looks bad.
Well, that's a bummer.
Like, I'll take it, but that's the first game I've ever seen that watching it live is so much better than watching somebody play it on YouTube because it is so fast.
Yeah.
And I never thought that would be a thing, you know, because it's direct capture, but it does matter. And I just, part of the reason I love it is because it is so fast.
Yes.
I mean, you're constantly moving. You never stop. And I think that's what makes the game great.
Yeah, I agree. The gameplay, the only time the gameplay to me really suffers is like in areas where you can't move fast. You know, like just like walking around as Peter Parker even is awkward because the whole game is set up to kind of fly. You know, like everything is so fast paced, like the navigation of the world with the web slinging and everything else. It's just designed so well and feels so good that when you can't do that, the game feels like it's just brutally slow and clunky. Like some of the even like sneaking stuff is just clunky because it's really designed to be this very fast tempo game.
On the sneaking thing real quick, because we did a section as MJ sneaking through a warehouse.
Yes.
And you got owned several times because it's clunky. But that said, I think those sections are fantastic.
I do too. I just, this one's waiting for you because I just played it this afternoon, actually. Just did another one as Miles, which, by the way, how freaking cool is it that you get to play as Miles Morales in this game as well? I just did another section where you play as Miles, just a little section. It really wasn't very deep or whatever, but it feels like it's setting up for something bigger coming up in the game. But it was a sneaking section like you've done with MJ a few times. And it is a lot of fun. Like it's cool that, like, even though it's Spider-Man, obviously you're playing most of the game as Spider-Man, that it does put you into these situations as these other characters that you love every once in a while, and you get to see kind of their perspective on it as well. It's just a really, really well put together game.
I loved, and this goes to living in the world, and I saw a section that I immediately texted you about in MJ's apartment where yes. where Peter shows up for dinner, and they're cooking and they're having dinner and whatnot. And that was okay. That was all right. But then, of course, as happens, you know, the world starts to end and there's crime. And Peter's like, I gotta go. And you see him in the window as Spider-Man getting ready to jump out. And she says, wait, did you just leave your clothes on the kitchen floor? And he stops, and he's like, well, yeah. and you see him pick them up and say, where do I put these? And it literally just made me laugh out loud because you're in that world, right? Like, they're very obviously a couple. They have been, and they're trying to, like, make it work. And it I just loved it. Like, it's it's part of that living, breathing world thing.
And specifically that living, breathing comic book world thing. Like, that was one of the moments that just felt like the kind of campy, cheeky comic book world that Spider-Man is, you know? Like, it felt very authentic to its nature, and it just, and it has stuff like that all throughout, that it just feels good. It's so well put together. It's all in all pretty fantastic. I know we're late to the party on this too, but yeah, man, we dig it.
we do, and I can tell you right now, we haven't even gotten to the end. Like, we're only halfway through. Like, we're 50% through the game. I can tell you right now, give me another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Please, please.
I don't care when it comes. I don't care how we get it. Give me another one. Give me DLC. You can have my money.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so good.
Yeah. So that being said, I know you also want to mention another game that you've been playing, have a little discussion around. So let's do that real quick, and then we'll get to our segment.
So everybody is going to laugh at me when I say this. But Avery was here. And when Avery's here, she wants to play games because Uncle Jay has got the games.
Yes.
Which I need to talk to you about this, and I didn't mean to do it live on the air, but here we go. Like, I'm playing games with Avery, and Avery says, I really need a computer. And my brain starts working, thinking, okay, Tommy and I did this before. And so I'm thinking that you and I need to build Avery a computer. Her mother's going to lose her mind, but I think that kind of needs to happen. We'll talk about that later. But
I dig it.
One of the things that I did with Avery was downloaded The Sims 4 because it's in the vault. I had it. It was there. Why not? And when you download it, and you really should, sir, you will be shocked because it is stupid small.
Really?
The base game is like 16 gigs.
Nice.
And I downloaded Titanfall and it was like 45.
Right.
So anyway, I downloaded it real quick and off we went. I started playing. She was playing first. And I just kind of watched to see what happened. And it's the same game that we've been playing for 25 years. And I initially thought that, you know, I'd probably play it for a few hours, put it down, and never pick it up again. So I watched her play for about 3 or 4 hours. And then on the Sunday before I left to come and see you, I picked it up and did my own character for about 5 hours. Like, I started at 5, and I looked up 5 hours later, and it was 10. And my first thought was, man, I'm a loser. And then the second thought was, back up, dude. This is a creation of Will Wright. Like, yes. Will Wright didn't have anything to do with The Sims 4, as far as I know. However, The Sims as a game is a Will Wright creation. When he built it, this was something that he wanted to do. He wanted something that was fun to play. And something that could keep an adult entertained. And I got to tell you, maybe I got to turn in my gamer card, but The Sims 4 is vastly entertaining.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because, at least in the new game, they have things to keep you moving forward. Like, for example, in my playthrough, and I don't have any of the expansions or any of that, but one of the career paths that you can take in the initial game is as an athlete, right? So you start as a locker room attendant for a team, and you move up. And because you're an athlete, you have to work out and you have to do all this stuff. And as you meet the goals that it gives you, you get promoted and whatnot. We've all played The Sims. We understand how work promotions work. But this one really has you involved in doing little things when you're not in, at work to make that happen. And the only thing that I can figure out that makes this so compelling is that I'm able to run my Sim's life better than my life. Like, my Sim already makes more money than I do as an adult. And for some reason, that is absolutely, utterly, and completely compelling. And Chad, you can make fun of me all you want. I don't care. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I played The Sims 4 right after it came out. It's been a little while now or whatever. But I now that it's on the vault, I'll absolutely pick it up again. Hopefully, again, finding time for that, something that's weird. But The Sims, I love, is one of those titles. It's like you can pick it up and you can put like 10 hours into it and then you can leave it and not feel bad about it. You know, like, because it's not like there's no end that you're trying to get to necessarily. Like, just when you're done with it, like, you're done with it and you move on, and then you can come pick it back up and you're like, oh yeah, this dude, you know, like, I remember him. And you can go back and play on, you know, your professional athlete or whatever for a while and then move on to something else. And it's kind of like just always there waiting for you whenever you want to go back to it. There it is.
Well, and the thing that is interesting to me, and I didn't mean to, I wasn't thinking about this when I initially started playing it, but right now we pay for the vault, which is $30 a year, right? If you upgrade to the premium and you pay annually, it's $100 a year. I think, if I'm not mistaken, if you are paying for the premium, you get all of the expansions with The Sims 4.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that in itself would be worth paying the extra $60 a year. Not to mention everything else. I'm actually thinking about it because I want to see some of these expansions and what they built in and all this stuff. I'm
good
actually
God, there's so many
interested.
Of them at this point.
There's a lot, and you can't pay for it all.
Yeah.
And I'm really thinking about it.
Yeah. I'd be interested too. That's fair.
I really think it's good. If you haven't played it, you need to sit down and play it. They have changed some things. They have made it more engaging as far as what you're doing with your guy. I really like it. I really do.
Good to hear. That's awesome. With that, we're going to get into our segment here, and then we'll come back with news, I promise. But before we do that, let me mention Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, who you'll hear from in just a second, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. As always, thank you guys a ton for your support, especially through E3. And as we've mentioned before, there is a bunch of content over at the Patreon now. And so if you haven't been by there recently, interested in trying it for the first time or trying it again, this is the best time of year to do that, because there is a bunch of content over there. So gaminguncensored.com, hit that Patreon button there on the right hand side. And as I mentioned, we've got a segment from our boy Josh talking about the game A Way Out, which is something you and I need to play.
Yes.
And so this is
also in
more...
the vault. Thank you.
Yes, also in the vault. So this is more encouragement for us to actually play some games as well. So with all that being said, here is Josh.
Hello, Jamie and Tommy and the Gaming Uncensored listeners. This is Josh, and today I have sent in a review of the game A Way Out. For those who aren't familiar with the game, A Way Out is a third-person story-based adventure game, and the big gameplay mechanic that's added to A Way Out is the fact that it is 100% co-op. Two people are required to play A Way Out at all times, and there's no AI involved, so it's two people either sitting together on the couch next to each other, or online is supported as well. One of the cool things about the game is that it is 100% split screen, so at all times you can see what your player is doing, and you also see what the other player is doing as well. And that makes up a pretty important part of fleshing out the story and being able to see the way these two characters interact in different parts of the level. So the basic premise of the game was demonstrated in the initial trailers, which were released quite a few years ago now. But it looks a lot like Prison Break, the game, is how it was sold initially. So the players are in prison, and they are trying to break out of prison. And you come up with different activities to come up with a plan to find a way to escape prison. So the players have to work together to conduct different parts of the planning and then the execution of the escape within the prison. And then the rest of the game follows that same mechanic. So the two convicts are Leo and Vincent. Now at the start of the game, each of the human players selects one of the characters, Leo or Vincent, to play as through the entirety of the game. And it doesn't really make a big difference which player you play as, other than the fact that each player will be presented with slightly different gameplay and story options throughout. There's a slight divergence in the gameplay as well towards the end of the game, but I might touch on that a little bit later. Just a mild warning, so as with any review, there'll be no plot spoilers as such, but some minor gameplay spoilers. So if you want to go in completely fresh, you should probably skip through this segment. That said, the game's been out now for a while, so I think you'll be pretty safe. So some of the positives of the game, it's highly story-driven. I'm a huge fan of story-driven games, and adding the co-op to it, it really adds a lot to the experience. There's a lot of really cool interaction with the characters and the NPCs, and it's really a unique twist to flesh out that story in such a... So there are a number of things I really enjoyed about this game. It is a story-driven game, and I'm a big fan of story-driven games, and combined with the co-op element, I feel that the two go together really well, and it's a really unique way of fleshing out the relationships with the characters and the NPCs and their backgrounds. You really have to pay attention to not only what your own character's doing, but also the character of your friend as well. Not only from a story perspective, but also from a gameplay perspective. There are lots of ways in which the timing of events depends on what someone else is doing, and so there's never a boring moment within the game. Another thing is the environment's absolutely stunning. The level of detail that the artists have put into the game is really top-notch. I'm someone that can sometimes get a bit bogged down. Probably a frustrating person to play games with, as I like to look at everything and see all the little details. And there's no shortage of that in A Way Out. Both the internal environments, there's lots of detail, lots of things to interact with, and the external environments as well. They're really, really, really well done. Tying in with that as well, the performance of the game is really impressive. They've really done a top-notch optimizing the game. Almost the entire time, the game's running in split-screen. As we all know, usually when you have a split-screen game, there will be concessions that have to be made for the fact that the system is having to render two scenes at once. But at no point was there ever a noticeable loss in quality. Frame rate was always stable. There are times when there's triple and quadruple split-screens as well, with things going on, and it was flawless the entire time. I played it on PS4, which again, I think the game's also available on PC, but even on the limited hardware of a console, it looks really, really great. Now, the game is incredibly cinematic. which ties in well with the story-based nature of the game. But there's lots of places that are very action movie-esque in the way that there's cuts between scenes and the interaction and the pacing of the levels. Not only that, but again, they use this co-op mechanic really well. Some very minor gameplay, spoiler alert ahead, but there's one level set within a hospital, and the way in which that level plays out was simply mind-blowing. It was absolutely a blast to play for both of us. And the way that the camera sort of alternates the focus between one player and the next, and shots between, and there's this one continuous shot, and the way it migrates between players and around the environment, that was simply phenomenal, really top-notch. I had a lot of fun playing that level. Yeah, there are some pretty heavy topics touched on throughout the game, and the performances by the voice actors really helped convey that. I never felt there was any cringeworthy moments at all. So, although the overall story itself is linear, and the progression from level to level is linear, at any one stage, any particular challenge has multiple and lots of ways to complete it, both in the beginning, in the planning and executing the prison escape, and also later on through the rest of the game. There's always multiple ways to play through it, which is good from an initial gameplay standpoint, because it lets you sort of evaluate the situation and then apply the best solution you think to get the best outcome. And it's also good from a replayability standpoint as well. In that manner, combined with the story-driven nature, there's a bit of a David Cage-esque vibe you get from the game as well. It's sort of a co-op David Cage game, if you will. So I guess that point right there may be polarizing for many people. Generally, you either love David Cage games or you despise David Cage games. Hopefully, adding the multiplayer co-op component will bring you into the former category. And finally, a really cool feature of the game is that only one person actually needs to own the game. So what this means is that the person hosting the game needs to be the one that owns the full copy. And then the second person that wants to join with them can simply download a second player client, which is free, which will let them join another person hosting it. So for example, I played this on PS4, and you just go to the PS Store, and find the A Way Out second player client, download it for free, and away you go. And it sort of helps offset the cost of the game as well, because effectively, depending on how good of friends you are, you really can just split the cost of the game. Now, of course, there are some parts of the game which were not so great. The first one I found, it's not so much a bad point, I guess, but right away, you very early on, you see that the prison component of the game, it's actually over really, really quickly in the grand scheme of things, which caught us by surprise, because almost all of the initial trailers and promotion of the game involved around the prison setting, and so we were prepared for this in-depth prison break game. And while the prison break, there was some really cool ways in which the break was planned and then you escaped. It was over really, really quickly. Less than a quarter of the way through the game, you're out of prison. So that was quite surprising. Also, when we were getting towards the end of the game, we were starting to sort of ask each other, I don't really see how this story is going to be able to wrap itself up. And frankly, I think the writers may have had that same question, and I don't think they adequately came up with a solution. Towards the end of the game, it really starts to fall over pacing and story-wise. The gameplay-wise, the last couple of levels just turned into a co-op shooter, and a particularly poor one at that. It wasn't particularly compelling. And then the final ending itself is just absolutely infuriating. I don't know what they were thinking with that. There are multiple endings. There's two endings. Neither of them really depend on any actions throughout the game. It's right at the very end, the last action will determine your ending. Sorry if that's a bit spoilerish, but look, when you get there, you'll realize it's not really a big deal. We tried both endings, and I'm not one person that says every story has to have a happy ending, but both of these endings were just absolute horseshit. Like, just left you feeling like an absolute piece of crap no matter which way you went. And I don't really think that was necessary. I don't really feel like there was a lesson that we got out of it instead. It was just pure crap ending. They also seemed like they had all these ideas for different gameplay mechanics put in the game. And at one point they've said, yeah, let's just chuck them all in there and see how it goes. And some of the gameplay mechanics are fun on their own, but I don't think they really fit well in the overall context of the game. So, all that being said, yes, the ending was terrible. However, the rest of the game was a lot of fun. They tried to do a lot of new things, and I think, for the most part, they really pulled it off. I really think it's worthwhile playing the game just to experience the new types of gameplay that the co-op story game brings to the table. I played it on a couch with a friend of mine one Saturday afternoon, so we just blocked out some time, sat down and went through the whole game. And we had an absolute blast doing it. I think you can play the game online with strangers. I think there's a matchmaking feature, but I wouldn't recommend it. This is definitely something you need to play with a friend of yours. Online or on the couch, either should be fine, but put some time aside and find a good buddy of yours and play through this game, and I'm sure you'll thoroughly enjoy the experience. I'm not really a fan of giving scores to games, as I don't think it's really possible to apply such an objective classification to something like a game. That being said, if you like story-based games, and you've got a close friend who does as well, I definitely would put this in the recommend pile. So, thanks for listening, and back to you, Jamie and Tommy.
So, couple of questions on that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is it cross-platform? Because I'm trying to figure out how you and I are going to play this thing.
Yeah. Well, I imagine we'll just both play it on PC.
Right. What I'm saying, though, is this seems like an in-the-same-room kind of a thing.
I gotcha.
So I'm thinking there may be some logging of PCs at some point. Either that or I'd be playing on PC and you'd be playing on PlayStation right next to me, which is why I asked the cross-platform question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Apparently it's not. Okay. A quick Google search says not so much.
Okay. So I still, even though with that review, I still love the idea of this game. We have to play it. This is a Jamie and Tommy must kind of a thing, and unlike the Spider-Man where we had some trouble with the audio, I feel like we gotta do this entire setup as a piece of Patreon content.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
Like the entire title, you and I gotta sit down and we gotta play. I am thoroughly and completely compelled. It really sucks to hear that the ending's bad, but I don't really think it's about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. I think the experience getting there is probably what's going to be a blast. And again, we haven't played it, so I can't say this, but I think, and what I've heard from other people, and trusting Josh, obviously, as a good barometer on this, I think the idea of playing it with somebody you know and being able to experience that with somebody like that you are familiar with, not only them, but how they play games and everything else, is probably pretty critical to making this a fun experience. And with that, I think then, you know, if it has a disappointing ending, you're like, oh, okay, whatever.
Josh, I dig that. We need another segment, dude. That's totally awesome.
Yeah. We do have another segment from Josh that we'll get to shortly.
I know. I'm trying to get him to make more, dude.
We need more. Yes. Yeah. Keep them coming for sure. All that being said, we do have some news, and we're already almost out of time, and so let's cover a few news bits at least. We'll start with Nintendo, because this is the biggest bit of news that we've gotten over the past couple weeks, and that's that the Nintendo Switch Lite is officially a thing. We've known it's coming, and so it's not a surprise at all, but it's officially announced details, including the launch date, which is September 20th, and the price, which is $200, both of which sound perfectly reasonable and fine. fine, whatever. The actual console is a slightly smaller version of the Switch that is portable only, so no docking option for this. The controllers don't come off. The controllers are built into the console. It is a handheld console, and so it looks just like a Switch, except a little bit smaller, and the controllers don't detach. But otherwise, for all intents and purposes, is a Switch, plays all your Switch games. You can play with people who have a regular Switch. It's not drastically smaller. It's a little bit smaller, but when you see them side by side, it's not like a massive change. It comes in yellow, gray, and turquoise options. So if colors matter to you, there you go. And of course, there'll be a billion different special editions of it as well. Seems like a very Nintendo thing to do, right?
Yeah, it is, and I'm not buying that.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm not buying that.
Yeah. It's probably a bigger deal than you or I think it is, because I'll even go as far as to say this. I already have a Switch, and so that matters a little bit here. But I play the Switch almost exclusively in handheld mode. I very rarely play it docked at this point. And so, I get it. I get why that seems appealing, especially, if I was buying a Switch for my kid, I'd go buy this one, you know, instead of buying the standard version. And so, I get it. But, yeah, not for me.
See, I'm going the other way. If I'm going to buy a Switch, I'm going to buy the one that gives me the option. Because unlike when we were kids, every kid got a TV in their room, and most of the time it's bigger than any TV the adult has ever owned, right? So if I'm going to buy one, I want one with the option for them to be able to plug it in.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure that's true. I think that was true fairly recently. I don't know if that's true today, because I feel like every kid has a phone, or a tablet.
That's right.
I don't know how much they're actually watching a TV. Like, I don't feel like kids watch TV that often anymore.
Well,
I feel like TV's like an old man thing now.
I will say this. Avery was in my house for a month. TV was always on. She likes her phone. But do you know how much Tom and Jerry was watched in my house for the month of June and July? Lots and lots and lots of Tom and Jerry. Also found out that there's a new All That coming out by, what's-his-face is the executive producer?
Kenan Thompson.
They're bringing All That back, which I didn't really watch a lot of it, but to hear some new kids say, "Welcome to Good Burger," I'm in for that. Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. What can we do for you? I'm in for that. But so I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying I had one in my house for a month that watched a lot of TV.
Yeah. I would love to put a Switch in her hands, though, and see if she ever had any desire to plug it into a TV, or if she would rather have Tom and Jerry on the TV and sit there with a Switch in her hand.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And, ultimately, too, as a parent, it's $50 cheaper, right? So if I could save $50 on it and have the, not option of them plugging into a TV, whatever. But there's definitely going to be a market for this, and I think they're going to do just fine with it. It seems like a good idea on Nintendo's part.
Let's be honest. Chad's already got 18 Switches. He's probably going to buy four more just because they're so awesome.
That's right. You got to get one in each color at this point.
That's right.
Also, a little bit more Switch news. The original Switch is actually getting a bit of an upgrade as well. Not much, and so they probably aren't going to tout this a ton. But it is getting a new CPU, at least reportedly getting a new CPU that's going to be a little bit faster, a little bit better, and is going to get some more built-in flash storage, which is actually, to me, a fairly significant thing. And this is not a new Switch. This is not the Switch Pro. This is not anything. This is just kind of a incremental update to the current kind of standard original SKU, whatever you want to call it. I think there's still a lot of possibility of kind of a Switch Pro or a Switch XL or whatever they want to call it coming out in the next year, which I would be more interested in, obviously. But if you don't have a Switch yet, like, it's going to be a good time to buy a Switch soon, because even if you just buy the standard Switch, it's going to be a little bit better than what the standard Switch is now.
The crazy thing about the Switch, and I know this because I've been out and around people, there's still a ton of people that do not own the Switch. That's mind-bending to think about, but there are a ton of people that have been on the fence for a very, very, very long time, and I think they're going to sell a ton of these.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And again, this is just right up Nintendo's alley. This is what they do. They do it well. And they're going to keep putting out games. We haven't talked about this yet, but I picked up Mario Maker 2, and I've played some of it. I haven't played enough of it to really have a long discussion about it. Hopefully before the next show, I'll get a chance to do that a little bit more. Because I'm going on a trip, and there you go. Travel video games, just super handy. But all that said, there's something like 2 million user levels on Mario Maker 2 already. Like, it just, like, they have software. They're going to continue to have software. We saw tons of software from them at E3. As long as they have software, they're going to keep selling the hardware, and it's going to be a big thing. And so, yeah, Nintendo's perfectly fine.
I have a request, and that is that I know, especially Mario Maker is a handheld title. You're going to play that a ton on vacation, but I have to see some of that.
Absolutely.
So if we could get some of that streamed, I would really appreciate it. I have to know what's going on there.
Yeah, we'll definitely make that happen. Moving on to something completely different from Nintendo to Grand Theft Auto. One of the things that we always talk about leading into E3 is, are we going to get Grand Theft Auto details? And one of the things we always talk about post E3 is, no, in fact, we don't get Grand Theft Auto details or much else from Rockstar typically at E3. Just isn't really their thing. We still don't have anything official, like, so let me be very, very clear. This is all very much rumors. This is from a Reddit post, and so take it with a massive, massive grain of salt. But we've seen some of these become very, very true. We've seen others of these kind of just general Reddit rumors or whatever kind of just fail completely, honestly. So this could be completely different than what Grand Theft Auto 6 is. But this, according to the rumor, is what you can expect from Grand Theft Auto 6. It is going to be set in two locations, which is already interesting. Vice City. Okay, we know Vice City and familiar with that. And a fictional location based on Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which is not what I was expecting and honestly kind of fascinating.
Can we get some Dominic Toretto in there somewhere? like, can he just pop up? Because I've gone a year and a half without Dominic Toretto, and that's the last place we saw him. So I'm wow. Let's do there that. And yeah, I want another Fast and Furious movie, and Hobbs and Shaw is not it. Sorry, guys. I really, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm chasing a rabbit. I really love those movies. I really love those movies, and I miss them. Can we have one, please? Now, back on Grand Theft Auto.
I wish the best for you. It's going to be set apparently in the 70s and 80s, centered around drug trade, coming up as a drug lord in a cartel, that kind of thing. Still apparently a male protagonist. This rumor at least says one playable protagonist, so not the kind of three protagonist thing that Grand Theft Auto 5 did. Again, big grain of salt here, but if that's to be true, that would be a significant departure from their last game, more in line with all their previous games. Every one of the previous 3D Grand Theft Autos was that kind of single main protagonist. They talked about that it wanted to be a chapter system like they did in Red Dead 2. Weather is a big focus. This is an interesting one, that like hurricanes and floods will be a big component of the game, which is interesting. Heavily inspired by the Netflix show Narcos. So if you've been watching Narcos, which is apparently really good, I haven't watched it at all. Maybe you should, preparing for Grand Theft Auto 6. Trying to think if there's anything else here. Lots of comparisons to Red Dead 2. So apparently, obviously, Red Dead 2 being their most recent game, they're taking a lot of the same kind of cues, the same approach to things. So like, for instance, you can only have weapons on your person. You won't be able to carry around like a billion guns at one time. Like, it's just what you can fit on you. And so that's cool. I kind of like that. And so your equipment is stored in the trunk of your car, like you store stuff on your horse in Red Dead 2. And so a couple of those comparisons just make kind of sense and bringing to that maybe a little bit more realism, less arcadey than Grand Theft Auto has been in the past.
I really like the idea of taking what they did well in Red Dead and moving it to Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto has been really good for a long time, but I don't feel like, I know you like Grand Theft Auto 5 a lot, but even saying that, I don't feel like Grand Theft Auto 5 story-wise is on the level, even though it's really good. I don't know that it's on the level with Red Dead.
Yeah.
And so if they can get Grand Theft Auto 6 there, I'm all about that.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. I would still probably take Grand Theft Auto 5 over Red Dead 2 just because I like the Grand Theft Auto world and gameplay mechanics a little bit better, in part just because it moves quicker. You know, I mean, like, obviously you're in cars instead of on a horse, and it's like, that's a very basic premise here, but I do like the speed of Grand Theft Auto. I do like the kind of a little bit more chaotic approach to the world of Grand Theft Auto, but you're absolutely right, the narrative experience in Red Dead is a new bar for Rockstar. They've never been at that level before, in my opinion. So I would love to see them bring that level of storytelling, which it sounds like is a lot of what they're trying to do with this kind of Red Dead like approach to Grand Theft Auto. I would absolutely love that, and again, they'll sell a billion copies of Grand Theft Auto 6 regardless of what it is.
And for crying out loud, it's in Vice City, so you could really do a lot with the Scarface aspect of it. You know, I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot you can do there.
Yeah, I think if you ask most Grand Theft Auto fans which location would they most like to return to, Vice City is probably the answer there. And so that seems wise from Rockstar. Doing that in conjunction with a kind of Rio, Brazil environment sounds brilliant. It also apparently, rumor again here, but rumor has it, there will also be a section of the game that takes place in Liberty City, not full open world Liberty City, not fleshed out big world, but at least a component of the game that takes place there as well. And so the idea, like, I dig the idea of having maybe two major locations, even if you can like travel back and forth between them really easy, hop on a plane and go between Miami and Rio or whatever, sounds really cool. But also having, you know, narrative elements that happen in even other places. I would love to see, you know, them tackle some other locations that aren't necessarily, again, that big open world thing, but you can have kind of a little instance of Liberty City or a little instance of wherever, somewhere out in the desert, whatever.
It's Grand Theft Auto, so whatever they do, it's gonna be enjoyable, it's gonna be fun. Like I said, my only gripe is now we've seen Red Dead, so what are you gonna do to set the story up?
Yeah. And that's a trick. I don't know. Maybe it's not. I wanted to make an argument about why it's harder to tell a story in Grand Theft Auto than it would be for Red Dead, but I actually don't quite know how to make that argument. They just haven't succeeded yet in telling that story as well.
I actually feel like a compelling story in Red Dead should, in Grand Theft Auto, should be easier than in Red Dead.
Yeah, potentially.
Because not, you know, like, I'm about to say something that's not going to make a whole lot of sense. But this is, the Grand Theft Auto environment is closer to the environment where we live every day.
Sure.
So it should be able to, it should be easier to tell stories in that environment, because it's stuff we know. we know about Starbucks and we know about electric cars. I mean, for crying out loud, in Grand Theft Auto 6, you cannot tell me you're not going to be able to steal a Tesla knockoff. That's going to happen, you know? And like, I was on vacation with my brother this weekend. We did a couple of things. One of the things we did is we took off and we went to the casino for a couple of hours and made a small donation to the Chickens All Nation. but we were talking about Teslas the whole time, and I told them that you and I had been talking about how awesome it would be to get Mr. Musk to build me a custom Tesla, and he starts laughing at me. He's like, yeah, I want one too. And you could probably get one custom built for $150,000. And so you know that's going to end up in Grand Theft Auto 6.
Except if it takes place in the 70s and 80s, probably not.
Well, yeah, there is that.
But it is a nice thought.
But what I'm saying is we know this is an environment that everybody is well aware of. This is where we live. So it should be easier to tell a story.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I hope it's fantastic, obviously.
Yes.
And we will obviously play it because it's Grand Theft Auto. And I've loved every Grand Theft Auto game that's ever come out, to be honest with you. There's never been one I didn't like. But
I know you don't have time, but one thing that I'm excited about Grand Theft Auto 6 is now that you and I have found the wonderfulness of streaming tech, you're going to have to stream all of Grand Theft Auto 6.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
I've seen a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5, but I'm tempted to like give you money to go back and play Grand Theft Auto 5.
I would not oppose that. I actually have it on PlayStation 4. I bought it on the PlayStation 4. I played through it originally on PlayStation 3, but I have the PlayStation 4 version as well. I would happily play through that game again. It's great. Finding the time is tricky, yes. But yeah, happily. Really quickly, a few other things before we wrap up. Steam has some new features that you can play with. It's under the Steam Labs. If you log into Steam, there should be a banner up at the top that are the, quote, latest experiments. And I love this idea. Steam, this is why I love the Epic Game Store, is because now we're seeing Steam do cool stuff because they have a little bit of, you know, competition. There's somebody breathing down their neck a bit. And so they're doing stuff, which is great. And so Steam Labs right now, they have three what they're calling active experiments, which is kind of algorithm-based or AI-based little things to help you find games, essentially. And so one is a micro trailer that they're every game on Steam, is what it says, has a 6-second trailer now. So you can see whatever game you want and just a quick like 6-second glance. So if all you want to do is like take a look of like, what does this game look like or whatever, it'll just give you a 6-second peek of that game, which I think is kind of brilliant. And then you can click on it and obviously explore further or whatever. It also has what they're calling an interactive recommender, which is a machine learning based recommendation engine that you can tweak some filters for. Like, do you want really popular games or do you want really niche games? Do you want games that have come out recently or games from, you know, the past 10 or 15 years or whatever? And then it'll look at like your play history and suggest games for you based off of those filters, which is cool. And then I haven't watched this one yet, but I'm really interested. Their third one that they have right now is called Automatic Show, and it's a daily like half hour show that like the Steam AI puts together. It's kind of weirding me out, but you can watch these little automatic shows or whatever. I don't know.
Well,
it's kind of cool.
What are they
it's
about?
Again, all like in do what?
What do they talk about?
It's just like highlights of the games. Like, it's like a computer-generated narration of different games. Like, it just takes the text off of different games and, like, highlights different games that are on Steam that you may not have seen or whatever, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's like these super weird things of trying to make it easier for you to find games. And I don't know, like, I'm probably not going to sit down and watch half an hour worth of video on Steam, but, like, having... I open Steam just about every day just to see, you know, like what's trending or whatever. You know, I spend 2 or 3 minutes on Steam a day just checking out what's going on. And so like these 6 second little video things sounds awesome. I did play with the interactive recommender earlier today, and it's pretty great. The fact that I know it's great is because like half the games that it recommended are games that are on my wish list, which is like, okay, obviously they could just look at my wish list as well. But if it's truly kind of going through this algorithm and picking out games that are on my wish list to put in the games that it's recommending to me, that makes a lot of sense. But there's a bunch of games on there that I hadn't seen before, and a couple of new ones I added to my wish list because they showed me these games I'm not familiar with. That's super cool. And so, yeah, more ways to find games, always better for me.
That's fantastic. As if we need more to play.
Yeah, that's the honest truth right there. Still pretty cool. So there's several other show notes we're just not going to get to today. So go by gaminguncensored.com and check out the show notes. I will mention one more just because I love it so much. Netflix has announced that they are making a new video game based TV show, which of which there are many now. We saw a picture of The Witcher recently from the Netflix series for that. But this one, I think, could be the most amazing of all, and it's based off of Cuphead. It is the Cuphead show.
Okay. All right. Wait. I spent the first 20 minutes talking about Avery.
Yeah.
And first thing Avery said when she walked in the door is, I love Cuphead. Do you have Cuphead? Do you have it? Can we play it? I said, I don't have it. She was like, oh. And that's when I had to get her a Sims 4. But she actually told me about this. I don't know where she found it. I don't know where she saw it that it was going to be available on Netflix. But that is a cool idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. I think it's awesome. And I will watch that. Like you were mentioning her watching Tom and Jerry. Something that I will just turn on just to watch, you know, just to have like in the background or whatever. As well as something that I will want to watch like every episode, probably multiple times. But just in that old school cartoon way, like it feels like it's going to be super cool. Now, they could screw it up. But it feels like it's going to be a hard one to script. Like, it's just so naturally built for that kind of crossover. I hope it's really good.
I have not seen the Castlevania series yet, but I think I'm going to get into that this afternoon because I have some time. There's some really good stuff on there.
There is. I'm watching the season 2 of Punisher right now, and I'm digging it. So, yeah, Netflix, come on.
Have we told you people that we can do like 18 more different shows? Just give us money. We'll talk about whatever comes to mind. It'll be fantastic. We can do an entire show every week devoted to Netflix. Just give us the money so we have the time to make it. That's all that has to happen. And you can get all the Jamie and Tommy you want. Go to Patreon, give us money, and you'll get more of us.
There you go. Releases, you can go by the show notes to check them out. Really not a bunch, and especially not a bunch that are high rated at this point. Dragon Quest Builders 2 on the PS4 has an 86 on Metacritic, so fairly big deal there. And Blazing Chrome is doing decently well. This kind of the old school 2D side scroller run and gun kind of game a la Contra or something like that is getting a lot of love. So a couple to check out. It's the middle of the summer, and so not a huge time for game releases, but a few.
I'm probably going to spend entirely too much time this afternoon on The Sims 4. And I also have Gears of War, which we haven't talked about really at all.
Yeah.
But that's on my system as well. I have so much crap to play, it's not even funny. I did, the other thing I wanted to mention was I fired up Toe Jam and Earl to show Avery.
She
thought that was pretty cool. We didn't get around to playing much, but I played a couple hours. That game's really good. I understand that it's kind of one of those Jamie and Tommy things. But that game's really good. If you haven't played it, go pick it up. I think it's worth your time.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
It's fantastic. And we need two things. We need time to play games, and we need time to watch baseball, because there's some freaking compelling baseball going on. So if you have some money and you need some place to put it, we're not a nonprofit, so we can't give you a tax break, but we will spend it.
Yes.
We will totally spend it. So definitely plan on doing that, because let's face it, we're fun. We don't know why you think we're fun, but we are. So let's keep that going, shall we? What else do we need to talk about before we wrap up?
Segments, we're catching up. We've been a little bit behind on segments. We've got two in the queue still, but we'd love some more, especially post E3. If you had any thoughts from anything E3 that we haven't talked about, or you just want to get out there, segments a great way to do that.
Real quick, I feel like we need to bring it up because somebody mentioned on the Facebook page about how we were all down in the dumps about Cyberpunk during the roundtable. And that some of those concerns are allied. You need to go by there and check out the story about Cyberpunk and how it's going to be deep and could possibly
yes.
make you cry. So go by there and check that story out. We did not say the story was going to suck. We didn't say that. Cabbage was the one that was like, dude, I don't know. And we're like, dude, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And he was like, I don't want to be evil. I don't want to be evil. Okay, don't let me do it. So yeah.
Good job throwing Cabbage under the bus.
I totally did. And you know why I did that? Because when he gets to this point in the show, he's going to be like, dude, I did not say that. And then I'm going to go yet again. But you're paying attention.
Yeah.
So there's that. Definitely go by the Facebook page. Go by the Twitter. We got lots of fun stuff going on over there. There's a ton of crap on the Patreon. And last week when I was in your neighborhood, I was hoping that we could crank out some more. That did not happen. But I am coming back to your neighborhood at some point. I can promise you that. Folks, we love doing that Patreon content. There will be more. We just got to have time. And we got to be together. So definitely go by there. Check that out. Support that. Because it literally keeps this show running. What else? The email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Send us segments. We will play them. It may take us 8,000 years, but we will play them. And if you want to use the voicemail line, all you have to do is call. It works fabulously. You don't have to have recording gear. You don't have to do any of that. Just call us. Start talking. It'll hang up on you after 3 minutes. Call us back, because it didn't hang up because we hate you. It hung up because it's Google and it does weird stuff. So definitely call that line. And that number is
509-GAME-210.
You call, we will play it. We guarantee it. You may be old by the time we play it, but we will play it. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, for now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.